Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in, everybody, right here to Fantasy Pros. It is me, Joey P, Joe P. Zapia, and we've got our mock draft 4.0. Can you believe it? We're getting ever closer to the NFL draft. It is me. It is Kyle Yates today. Tags is on vacation. Don't worry, he's fine, but he deserves a vacation. If anybody deserves a vacation, it's Tags. I think Yates would agree with me on that. The only trouble is he does a whole primer for the vacation. Which snack bar is the best between these five? All these different beach activities, he's got to write them all up. By the time he's done with the vacation primer, his family is back on the plane and they're already done with him. So that's basically what's going on. But nonetheless, he gets a little bit of a break from football just for a little bit. And Yates and I have brought in two huge guests here. And Yates, we are just basically weeks away now, days, hours from the draft and our live stream that's going to happen right here on Fantasy Pros. So if you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to Fantasy Pros and our YouTube channel because we're going to be doing the live stream. Now, you are very well coiffed. You've always got the beards tight, the hair's tight, the glasses are tight. I see you on the social media. You know, you've got some style. I want to dress up for the draft that night. I'm thinking shirts and ties and the whole thing. And Tags isn't here to say no. So if you and I agree to it, I feel like it's going to happen. What do you think?
Oh, that's what we did last year, and I had to pull my suit out of the closet for the... I think that was legitimately the only time that I wore my suit jacket, of course, sweatpants underneath, but for the entire year. Like, that was the only time that I actually wore my suit jacket, and I'm planning on doing the same thing this year.
Awesome. I love it. Now we go. Now we're getting fancy. We'll see how fancy Tags can get. We've got two, as I said, fantastic guests, and today we're not just going to do the first round. We're going to do rounds one and two, so a little bit different here. We're going to, go and fly through some of the picks that maybe don't need as much analysis as others, but we're going to certainly spend a lot of time on some important ones. And we've got a little bit different dynamic to this draft because we've seen some movement here since the last time we did one of these, where some teams have been moving around, specifically the 49ers making some deals, specifically the Eagles and the Miami Dolphins. And who knows, as soon as we record this, I'm sure there'll be five other trades and we'll have to go back and do it again. But we have Trevor Sycamo with us today, senior NFL writer from the Draft Network, co-host of The Locked on NFL Draft Show, and of course, John McKechnie as well with us from RotoWire. He also does the college football shows, and he also guest hosts on Sirius XM Radio Fridays and Saturdays. He's the college football editor at RotoWire. Trevor, first, let's welcome in you to the show. I appreciate you spending some time with us today. Are you ready for two rounds? Have you been training for this?
Oh, I've been training every day, it feels like, for the last 4 months to do something like this. And so when I got the invite, I got very excited. Anytime that I could do a mock draft with other people, it's always a good time. I do plenty of mock drafts by myself over the Draft Network, but this gives a little bit of fun to it. Now I can bounce ideas off of other people. The trade market is wide open. I'm really looking forward to it.
It's nice to play with others once in a while.
You know, it is.
Especially in quarantine. You know, we've all been on our own. You know, all the androids and the cyborgs and the simulators and things. It's nice to all get together and chat a little bit. So I'm glad you're looking forward to it. And if you haven't already, I know you're listening to the podcast, but here's why you got to watch the podcast, because John McKechnie's mustache is just, it's as fantastic. The kids say, it's fire. It's just unbelievable. It is so great. And, you know, your commitment to it over the years now, because this is, how long have you had this mustache?
So this started as a quarantine thing, basically. Like, this was just like, I've tried and failed several times in college, you know, get the pencil going. And, you know, I was like, well, going to be inside for a while. No one's going to see me. So let's see where this goes. And, you know, luckily the mustache god smiled upon me and bestowed this to me, so that, you know, it's working out pretty well, I would say, overall.
You've grown up so much since college, John. I think maybe you were still in college when we started doing shows together back in the day.
Fresh out. Yeah. So, yeah. So this feels good. Yeah. I would say I've matured, but that's not really true. I'm not going to lie to the listeners like that, but, I definitely have a mustache now. That's pretty much the biggest thing.
Well, look, you've also got a lot of great analysis, so we're going to kick things off here, and let's jump into everything. Before we do, just real quick, I want to remind everybody, we've got another giveaway here on Fantasy Pros. This week, it's changing over because it's a new month. So last week, we gave away the Lamar Jackson autographed jersey, thanks to our friends at Pristine Auction. So congratulations to Stuart from North Carolina. Good job by you. Look, you're listening to the show. You might as well get some free swag this month. Thanks to our friends at Pristine Auction, we've got a Justin Jefferson autographed jersey for you. And it's free to enter. It is so easy. Go to fantasypros.com/contest. Again, that's fantasypros.com/contest. All you got to do is write a glowing review of how much you enjoy the show. You can go to Apple Podcasts or CastBox and get that done. You take the screenshot, you go fill out the form at fantasypros.com/contest. And boom, just like that, for free, you are entered to win a Justin Jefferson jersey. God knows how much that's going to be worth. And all just for listening to us here and enjoying the football. I mean, what a fantastic thing. So go take care of that business. Now it's time to take care of our business. And let's start with the one pick, which we gave to John McKechnie. So, John, I know this is kind of the no-brainer. I don't know how much time we spend on this, but I'm assuming, Trevor Lawrence, you're not going to change anything or be odd, right?
That is correct. Trevor Lawrence has been the slam dunk for this pick basically since he got to college. He was going to be the number one overall guy. So the Jags won the lottery. You know, the Jets messed up their tank job and allowed the Jags to slide in there at one. So, I mean, this again feels like a no-brainer. They're starting over, turning a new leaf with Urban Meyer and the new everything that's going on there. So it makes all the sense in the world to go with Trevor Lawrence, a draft prospect that, you know, basically transcends what, you know, traditional, like, you can't really compare him to Andrew Luck or Peyton Manning. It's almost like a LeBron James of, you know, quarterback prospects.
Oh, I like that. That's the first time I've heard somebody go that route on that. I like that.
Credit my colleague on that one. Mario Puig came up with that one.
No, don't give Mario credit. Just right, you said it here. It's the first time I've heard it. Therefore, it's the first time it's been said.
Let's go.
Question for you. What are your thoughts on Urban Meyer with him? Because I think that's kind of the outstanding question. I just want to get your thoughts on that.
So I have some questions about how Urban's going to translate to the NFL, because he's such an authoritative figure at the college level. So I don't know how well that translates to grown men who are getting paid as much or more than you. Like, you can't really control them the same way. But schematically, I mean, he always had electric offenses and got so much out of the quarterback position at, you know, Utah, Florida, and Ohio State, of course. So I'm pretty optimistic on how this is going to go. And the pieces around him, you know, with DJ Chark and Laviska Shenault, and maybe add a couple more guys around him, I think it's going to work.
I have that same problem with Yates too. He just makes so much more money, and I'm always trying to get him to focus on the things I need him to do. It's very difficult. Trevor, you are up number two on the clock here. The New York Jets, now they're looking for a franchise quarterback. It seems like they've identified their guy as well.
Yeah, there's no more mystery to it. Sam Darnold is no longer there. I know there were some people who were talking about, hey, trade the number two overall pick back because you get a massive haul. The roster's not ready for a quarterback yet, but whether the roster's ready or not, a quarterback's incoming, and it's going to be Zach Wilson in real life, and I'm going to have Zach Wilson going number two overall here. He's my QB2 in this draft. He's got such a moxie to him. You gravitate towards his play. He's electric when he can get outside of the pocket, and I think he brings a lot of elements to the game that you're looking for when it comes to having success in chaos. You know, when things are off platform, when things aren't going so well, and we know with the Jets' ever-evolving offensive line, that's going to be a thing his early time in New York. And so I think that he is the right pick. I think he's going to be QB2 for a reason. So I'm not going to get fancy or chaotic here. I'll have Zach Wilson going two to the Jets.
Any concerns at all with the kid from BYU in the New York market?
No, I mean, that's not my concern at all, because he's really oozed confidence for the last 3 years. It hasn't just been this year. He's been a really confident player, I think, for his entire time at BYU, and that's what you need in New York. You just can't be... I feel like sometimes these guys who are high draft picks, maybe they're timid and they're just not ready for the media market. I feel like Zach Wilson is ready. I don't think it's going to be too big for him. I think he's going to embrace it, and I think they're going to love his attitude. He's going to be a player that whole city is going to adore if he has success. We know if he fails, of course, the media is going to eat him alive no matter what. But
this is
true. They're going to love this dude if he succeeds, for real.
Now, Yates is in the third spot here, and now the 49ers are as well. And I feel like Yates has specifically taken the third spot today because he's trying to will the right pick to happen. This has been quite a debate behind the scenes here at Fantasy Pros between Tags and Yates, and I like to just sit back and kind of watch it, stir the pot, and step away. But now you've got the whole board to yourself here. You don't have Tags, you know, making any comments. So, Yates, what should the 49ers do? We're talking about should here today. That's where we're trying to give you our takes on what we think is the best fit. Now, they've got three choices at quarterback. It's going to be a QB. Which one should they take, Yates?
Yeah, so I think the draft really starts here at number three overall. And I really want to hear the other two guys, Trevor and John, their opinion here about the quarterback that is in play here. But this is what we think they're going to, or what they should do, excuse me. So in this situation, I'm not going anywhere near Mac Jones. Mac Jones here at number three overall that you traded three first round picks for, I'm not getting behind it, sorry. So I'm going to go with my QB2 in this class. It lines up perfectly with the situation here where you have Jimmy Garoppolo. He can sit behind him for a year, and then the upside is just tremendous here with Trey Lance, the quarterback out of North Dakota State. There are some people who are now to the point of nitpicking his game, but the only knock that you can find is that he doesn't have a ton of starting experience. Well, this is the perfect situation where he doesn't have to come in and start right away. You can rely on Jimmy Garoppolo. And then when you get to the point where you deem that Trey Lance is ready to take over, you plug him in and get him going. So I don't buy the fact that they traded three first round picks up for Mac Jones in real life. I'm definitely not doing it here.
All right. So, Trevor, what do you think of this? Is Lance the right way to go with Garoppolo there? And you take the biggest upside guy on the board, despite the fact he didn't play last year. Do you think this is the play that they should take as well?
I would be picking Justin Fields because I personally believe that he's the biggest upside guy that is left on the board. But I also, when I was doing my evaluations in my ceiling label for Trey Lance, I have as a franchise quarterback. So like they both have franchise quarterback potential. I could totally see why people would love Trey Lance. Like Kyle said there, you get him in a situation where he can now sit behind Jimmy Garoppolo, and it seems like that might be where they were going. I have a higher grade on Justin Fields. I'm a little bit worried about the natural accuracy with Trey Lance. He's so smart as a quarterback. He gave you so much of what you wanted to see as an 18, 19-year-old. And accuracy can often come from just repetition. And so you can get that ball placement there, but there were times when the natural touch bothered me a little bit. That's why Justin Fields would have been my choice here, but I can't really hate the Trey Lance one if he's your guy.
All right, so we got one vote for Lance, one vote for Fields. I'll throw my hat in the ring, too, for Fields, because I kind of think that you're getting the best of both worlds, excuse me, where you're getting the guy who maybe is a little bit more ready, a little bit more polished, but still has a lot of athleticism and a lot of upside, and maybe you don't have to wait too long, that you're trying to compete right now if you're the 49ers, too. And if Garoppolo struggles or gets hurt again, you can actually pivot to him right away as opposed to Lance. But I agree with Yates in terms of long-term projectability. The upside of Lance is very difficult. John, you're on the board here in terms of your opinion on this pick, and then we'll move forward. But this is really it, because I agree, Yates nailed it. The draft does really start here. So in your opinion, do you think this is also the way they should go? Should it be Lance? Should it be Fields? Or should it be Mac Jones?
So I think Yates totally has it right in the sense that there's no way that this can really be Mac Jones. Like that's got to be San Francisco feeding this out, because I mean, right. Mac Jones, like, he's fine. You could have gotten him at 12 though, you know, like you didn't have to, you know, mortgage off several drafts in order to get a guy like Mac Jones, who I think has a middling ceiling really at best. Now, again, not knocking him, but he's not the guy that you trade up that much for. So it would become between Lance or Fields. I'm team Fields as well. I definitely get the case for Lance. I mean, the arm strength is ridiculous. The athleticism, I mean, and, you know, he was so careful with the ball back in 2019, like never turning it over. But Fields, I think it's a little bit more projectable to me. And I do kind of question what what the 49ers really view themselves as right now, because they are just a year removed from the Super Bowl, but it seems like they're ready to reset at quarterback, but they're still kind of stringing along Jimmy Garoppolo and saying that he's going to be the starter week one. It feels like a roster that's ready to win right now, but they're playing these weird games at quarterback, and I'm not sure how well that ends up playing out for them.
Now, Atlanta should be on the clock next. However, we've got a trade, I believe, here. So now Denver is moved up. So Yates, you are back on the clock for the number 4 overall pick.
Yeah, Denver sitting here at number 9 overall makes that move up to number 4 to make sure that this draft starts out quarterback, 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 quarterback. And now I'm going to take Justin Fields, my QB3 in this class. I agree that when you're looking at San Francisco, Justin Fields, I think, is going to be the pick at the end of the day. However, I'm sticking true to my rankings here and going with Trey Lance as QB2, but Fields is right behind him as far as QB3. You look at this roster in Denver, they've done a really, really good job in free agency of shoring up some key positions of need. The only glaring weakness on this roster is at quarterback. With Drew Lock, you cannot go into next season with Drew Lock as the only guy there. Fields presents just a huge ceiling, but then also combining that with the receiving weapons that they've got in town already, man, good night. You're instantly competing with Kansas City for that division title.
You know what? I think it's a great move there if they could pull that off. And I agree with you 100%. There's a lot to like about what Denver's done in terms of weapons. And they gave Locke a fair shot last year. Now let's move on to Cincinnati. Another pick that I think is going to really kind of pivot the next few picks, because there's a lot of ways they can go. So I'm going to ask you, Trevor, you are on the clock with the Bengals. Do they go for the protection or they go for more toys? Because there's a lot of good toys with Ja'Marr Chase, with Kyle Pitts on the board, or do you protect the investment, the guy coming back from knee surgery? What do you want them to do?
We're not overthinking this. I know that this is a fantasy football podcast. I know we're all about the skill players, but we are not overthinking this. Penny Sewell is on the board. You draft him. I know they.
I love the discipline you're showing, Trevor. I'm so taken.
I know that people, because I've had to go back and forth in this debate with Bengals fans. I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. Like I do, because Joe Burrow obviously gets hurt last year, and it doesn't just mean like, oh, you had a bad offensive line. That means a quarterback gets hurt. It's football. People get hurt all the time. However, when you look at their offensive line right now, they've needed upgrades across the board. Riley Reiff, signing him to a 1-year deal should not prohibit you from taking the best offensive tackle in the class. And two, I know the argument is there for Ja'Marr Chase. They need a wide receiver one. They've got T. Higgins, who they like, who they think could be a wide receiver two. They have Tyler Boyd, who they like as a slot player, and they also have Auden Tate. They still need that number one wide receiver guy, but I keep going back to this. Yes, it's Ja'Marr Chase. Yes, he has chemistry with Joe Burrow, but one, if Joe Burrow's really that good, he can have chemistry with any really good wide receiver. Two, every team in the NFL has the ability to pick a wide receiver one at least once every 3 years. How many times do you get the chance to pick a Penny Sewell? Very right. Less frequently. And that's what I continue to go back to. That's what the argument is, and that's why it's got to be Penny Sewell to me.
Listen, I don't know what this means to you, if anything, but I agree with you and I support your decision.
Wow.
And I think you need to hear that, because it sounds like there's a lot of pain going on that's been going on here when you're saying, and it's true. I mean, why do you make the investment in the franchise quarterback if you're not going to protect it? And it is tough, because those weapons are very tempting, especially the one that he has a connection to already. And he happens also to be the number one wide receiver in the class. But Trevor, I agree with you 100%. It's the right football move. It's what we should want them to do. And if you're a Bengals fan, I think it's what you should want them to do. All right, that moves up now to Yates with the Dolphins. Don't worry, John, you're going to get back here soon. I feel like, you had a little run here. It's a lot of Yates in the middle of this.
We had a backstage deal, with the Denver-Atlanta move, I'm just biding my time. I'm like Patrick Starr, like sitting up in the corner of my rock cave.
It's fine. It's fine. John's getting paid full time to mock part time. That's all it is.
Shell business.
I didn't know any of us were. No, just all right. Let's talk about Yates here at the Miami Dolphins. Now, here we go. We just talked about two of those big time weapons. Do they go for one of these weapons here, in your opinion? Should they, Yates? Or is this another situation too where, you know what? You've made an investment in a young quarterback. Do you protect him?
You know what I'm going to do here? I'm going to go.
No, that's why I asked.
Miami moved up from 12 to 6, and I believe that was to put themselves in this situation where they have their pick of the litter as far as offensive skill players. I'm going to go with Kyle Pitts, the tight end out of Florida. I don't think Pitts falls outside of the top 8 picks if he's there for Carolina. I think they're going to think very hard now that they've got the quarterback in hand. But Pitts here, upgrading over Mike Gesicki. If you want to roll out some two tight end sets with Pitts and Gesicki, you want to flex Gesicki out to the slot. There are a ton of mismatch opportunities here that you can have with having a guy like Pitts on your roster. And I think that you can find a decent slot receiver later on in this draft. There are plenty of guys there. So pairing him now with Devontae Parker, Will Fuller, Kyle Pitts, man, that is just a nightmare offense to face. And now this surrounding Tua with the weapons he needs to be successful.
Dude, I'm with you. I'm buying this. If he's there, I think you take him too, because he is so special. And I don't think Gesicki should be prohibitive at all of this sort of selection, because like you said, you can run the two tight ends. You can do all sorts of things. Imagine what kind of red zone offense you could run when you got those two guys, you know, kind of hanging around there. All right, next up, John, you are with the Detroit Lions. So what are you doing? Clearly, there's a lot of needs. You're going on the offensive side or the defensive side of the football?
Yeah, there's a couple ways that I was really considering going, and obviously last year that they took a top three pick on a cornerback, and I did honestly consider going with a cornerback here at seven. We know that the Lions also have a sparkling reputation of drafting receivers in the top 10, but I'm gonna take the plunge once again, and you know, with the way the board has shaken out, especially, I think Ja'Marr Chase would have to be the play. You know, they got rid of Kenny Golladay, they got rid of Marvin Jones, they have some, you know, kind of replacement level guys in Tyrell Williams and Breshad Perriman, but Chase is a total difference maker. Personally, I would hate this for Ja'Marr Chase because I'm not that high on Jared Goff, but man, I think if you're the Lions, you got to run this pick up to the podium if Chase is there at seven.
I wish somebody would run a pick up to the podium. I got to be honest with you. Sometimes you know who they're taking, and they milk and go through. But Ja'Marr Chase going to the Lions, certainly a need there at wide receiver, especially Golladay gone, as John so astutely points out. Now the Carolina Panthers. Now, Trevor, you know, here's a kind of funny scenario, because Mac Jones is actually still on the board. And do you think Carolina has any, you know, traitor's remorse, as it were, that they could have just taken Jones as opposed to making the move and giving up future draft capital for Darnold the way this is shaken out?
I don't think it would be for Mac Jones. I feel like if anybody, it might be for Justin Fields. If he was on the board at eight, they might be looking at this trade and they might say, oh, what could have? But I honestly think they had a lot of confidence here. They were really in on Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson. And when it became, hey, those two guys are going to be off the board 1-2, it doesn't matter. You're not going to be able to trade up to go get them. I think that they were clearly okay with thinking that Darnold would have been the QB3 in this class, like as of right now. And so we have those exercises all the time. Hey, how did you rank this quarterback class against, you know, one of the past? And I think when the Carolina Panthers looked at it, they said that we would like Darnold above the other three guys in this class. And so that's why they make the move. I think they had full confidence in it. I don't think that Mac Jones is going to be the pick. And instead, I'm going left tackle. I'm going with Rashawn Slater, the offensive tackle from Northwestern. I think that's the direction they have to go. And I really do think that they're targeting one of those two guys in the top 10. If both of them happen to be off the board and Kyle Pitts happens to be off the board, I mean, good Lord, that would be a worst case scenario for them. I could see them trading back, but I think there's going to be a reality where one of those guys is there. And if they are, they're going to take him. So we're going to go Slater here. I think it's the right move.
I agree. I'm with you as well. So a very nice pick there for Slater for the Carolina Panthers. That puts John back up here right now with the Atlanta Falcons, who moved back. So, John, what do the Falcons do here in the scenario that's played out since that trade?
So, the Falcons could theoretically also upgrade their offensive line, but with, you know, two of the top tackles off the board, I don't feel like they need to reach necessarily this year. They do still have Jake Matthews and Caleb McGarry. So I'm looking to the defensive side of the ball. Kendall Sheffield looks to be a liability at corner. So, I mean, I like AJ Terrell. I know that they spent a first round pick on him last year, but I think if you have the chance to get the top cornerback in this class, in my opinion, it's JC Horn out of South Carolina. He's just an absolute dog out there, and he's got great athleticism. I think that would be a slam dunk pick for them to really lock down one side of the field.
Well, they've had so many problems in the secondary the last few years. I mean, they just do not tackle anybody. The arm tackling of the Falcons is just the most appalling thing ever. If I was a Falcons fan, I'd be so upset watching those guys just pretend to have effort stopping somebody that gets past that linebacker area. It's just ridiculous. So J.C. Horn going there to Atlanta. Now, John, you are back-to-back picks here because you are also Jerry Jones of the Dallas Cowboys. I don't know if you knew that, so I hope you're enjoying all that money that you got and all that prestige and that enormous owner's box. The yacht, the whole thing, the parties, everything. Oh, so guys, we're hanging out with Jerry Jones. This is awesome. This is so cool. I can't believe we're here. But the Dallas Cowboys... on the clock. They have a history of going a little BPA in the recent years. Do they do that here or do they go for need?
This was tough. I think that they've invested a little bit too much in linebacker to go with a high draft pick there. Again, I know that Micah Parsons would kind of make sense for them right now, but I think that they end up going because Caleb Farley has a little bit of the medical red flag due to his back, I think that they end up going with Patrick Surtain. I think that, you know, their cornerback, their pass defense personnel last year was atrocious once again. I know they lost one of their corners from a year ago as well. So I think that Surtain would make all the sense in the world for them to you know, this is such a deep corner class. And I think, you know, getting the second one at pick number 10 is still a windfall for Dallas.
Yates, I feel like every mock we do, that's no matter who is picking for the Cowboys, Surtain ends up there. Am I correct? Am I remembering this correctly? I feel like it's right.
You are. Yep. It's because, like John said, their secondary was absolutely atrocious last year. They need a player like this.
Yeah, so it's the consistency there. So if this is not Surtain after all of these weeks and months of doing this, I'm going to be absolutely shocked. All right, next on the board is Trevor again for the New York Giants. The Giants certainly made some splashes here. They are now up on the board at number 11. So, Trevor, where are you going for the G-men?
It's always a dangerous thing to try to go into the mind of Dave Gettleman, just because you never
don't do it. I would just recommend not
up there. But
I think it's a bad
idea. I look at this pick and I think that Jalen Waddle's perfect. You know, and with him still being on the board, I think this is where you got to go. They move on from Golden Tate, and the reason why they did is because he was no longer the guy they brought him in to be, and when he was fantastic. Golden Tate, for, you know, his entire career, when he was healthy and at his peak, you could get the ball in his hands very quickly, and he could work magic with it. You know, he could break open a 20-yard run down the field after the catch. He could even hit home runs for you, 40, 50 yards, whatever it was. He just did not bring that same kind of athleticism here in his older age, and Jalen Waddle is the newer version of that kind of a player. So he gives you that rare speed and that ability, but I do think he's even more of an all-around wide receiver than stay just a speed demon. So he gives you a lot of possibilities. This is the perfect ad for the New York Giants.
Jalen Waddle to the Giants, says Trevor Sikkema's. Yates, you are on the clock here at number 12 for the Philadelphia Eagles. So where do you think they are going to go with this pick?
Oh man, I really wanted Jalen Waddle here at number 12.
Yeah, I bet you did. I bet you did, Kyle.
Yep, thank you for that. So, but there is still another very, very talented wide receiver out of Alabama still here on the board. And I think that Philadelphia could look at corner if one of J.C. Horn or Patrick Surtain were still on the board. Caleb Farley, this is a little bit too early for him with his back injuries. But then, you know, the wide receiver position, I'm going to focus in on there and getting Jalen Hurts everything he needs to be successful. I'm a little bit concerned about pairing Smith with Jalen Reagor as far as overall size, but yet Smith plays like he's 6'4", 220 pounds. So I'm going to go with Smith here, wide receiver out of Alabama, and we'll see if Travis Fulgham can step up and be that prototypical outside wide receiver and just get Jalen Hurts some help here with Reagor and Smith in town.
Yeah, you know, Gates, do you think that there's any possibility they have hesitation because of what they did last year by taking Reagor in the first round, of going back-to-back years into the wide receiver pool in the first?
Yeah, I think they definitely can. But you also look at the needs on this team, and yeah, you can look at linebacker, but they don't take linebacker early. You can look at corner, but you know, like I said, there's not really a corner here. So when you look at the overall spot, yeah, they could trade down again, but man, Smith here at number 12 overall, it just makes too much sense coming off of that Heisman Trophy season.
All right, that'll put the Chargers up at number 14 now, ready to pick. So, John, what do you want to give the Chargers?
This is a very Alabama-themed little run that we have going on here. Roll Tide, I suppose. But I think that the Chargers, I like the way their offense is set up, and I would totally understand offensive line here as well. But I think they could use a space eater in the middle, and this draft is kind of lacking on depth as far as that is concerned. But this guy, I think, stands out above the rest. Christian Barmore, just get him in the middle of your defense, have him disrupt, allow those edge guys to get free around there and really disrupt the quarterback. So I like Barmore, kind of a little bit of a late bloomer, and maybe some of the statistics don't pop out at you necessarily, but you watch him play and he just absolutely takes over the middle of an offensive line. I think the Chargers could use that.
Yeah, they could use that. I agree. Certainly some physicality there. And the Chargers, you know, a team that so inconsistent in games, you know, at times in a game they look great and other times they just fall apart. So it would be good to kind of add a little physical presence there right on the line, because you win and lose those games on the line. Anybody knows anything about football understands that. Trevor, you are up next here at number 15 with the Minnesota Vikings. So what do you want to give them?
This is a little bit of a clashing between what I think could happen in real life and what I actually think should happen for the Vikings, because for as long as Rick Spielman has been the GM since 2012, they have only spent one first-round pick on a defensive lineman, and it was Sharif Floyd, the defensive tackle, back in 2013. This is just not what they do. They just don't draft defensive linemen, edge rushers included, high in the draft, but Jalen Phillips is good. I know that he has had the concussion history before, and so, you know, you've got to make sure all that stuff checks out. But since he left UCLA, it seems like he's healthy again. It seems like he's very committed to football and getting back and taking care of himself with those injuries. And popping the film, man, this is the best edge rusher in the class. It's not even close. And he's a guy who gives you the size to be able to defend the run. You can play him on early downs, have no worries. And then when it's time to tee off against the offensive tackles, he can rush from a three-point stance, two-point stance, doesn't matter. He's got all the skills, all the talent in the world, a former number one overall recruit back in 2017. The Vikings don't draft defensive linemen this early, but I'm going to do it because I think this is what they really need. Jalen Phillips on one side, Danielle Hunter on the other.
Well, yeah. that would be a long day at the office for any offensive line, I would imagine. Yeah. And, you know, I've said this before, but, you know, I'll just reiterate too. I think that when you get people back in that building eventually, it's going to make a big difference. That defense was so good. I think partially it was because that's a very big home field advantage. It's a very tough building to hear. And they took advantage of not only the feel of that crowd and the intensity of it and the noise of it. But I mean, really all those things kind of fell into place for them. And then last year when there was nobody in that building, all of a sudden that defense just kind of folded up. And then of course the injuries didn't help either. So I like getting Phillips there as well. Let's hit one more pick before we take a short break here. Yates, New England Patriots. Be careful here, please. Be gentle with this pick. I'm representing today here a little bit. So I know what they need. Certainly, they need a lot of things still. So in your opinion, Yates, what do you think they need the most here with this pick at 16 overall?
Yeah, this is more so.
Excuse me, 15 overall. Pardon
me. Yeah, 15. This is not necessarily the person that I think that I would be taking here at this point. But when you look at their needs, the top need is still quarterback. And Mac Jones, for everything that we want to say about him and his limitations and this, you know, he might not have the highest ceiling, but he can succeed when you put him in the right situation. And with Josh McDaniels, I think that he's going to do everything he can. Now, this is the absolute opposite of Cam Newton. You know, like you have Cam Newton and then you have Mac Jones. And, you know, you can't find two more polar opposite players. But yeah, I will go Mac Jones here just because I don't think that New England would necessarily be in the market to trade up. But yeah, if they're sitting here at 15 overall and Mac Jones is still on the board, I will take him here. So Mac Jones, quarterback out of Alabama.
All right. Pretty amazing there. I got to tell you, like, this is, that Mac Jones goes from the conversation here with San Francisco at 3 and he falls all the way here to where we have him. It's kind of stunning. What do you think about it? You know, let's take a look at the board real quick, actually, and maybe just maybe we sneak one more in here. John, let's go with you for Arizona and get one more pick in before we hit a break.
There's a couple ways that this could go. Obviously Arizona's had some struggles finding like the great depth behind, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, you know, where obviously the Hakeem Butler pick didn't work and Andy Isabella, a bit of a work in progress, but I think that they go defense. I know that tight end probably a more glaring need, but I don't think there's a tight end that really, is worth a top 20 pick. So I think they go corner. Obviously they just lost Patrick Peterson. So I think they go Greg Newsom out of Northwestern, the alpha of a Northwestern pass defense that was really, one of the best in the nation last year. And, you know, his testing from his pro day really stamps that he's an elite athlete. I think that would make all the sense in the world to pair him, opposite Malcolm Butler.
All right, there you have it. All right, I want to remind everybody, too, one of today's sponsors of the show is Magic Spoon, because, look, everyone's trying to eat healthier, especially we're right around the corner from beach season and pool season. So, you know, you want to shed a couple pounds, but also get the protein in. And healthy breakfast doesn't always have to be boring. And sometimes healthy breakfast doesn't taste good. But Magic Spoon has some amazing flavors that you're going to love without all the bad stuff. It's got 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. Only 140 calories total. It's keto friendly, gluten free, grain free, soy free, low carb, GMO free. It'll make your bed in the morning. It's an incredible thing. That's why it's Magical Spoon. Okay, it's Magic Spoon. It's not Unmagic Spoon. We got exciting news too, because Magic Spoon will be releasing 2 amazing new flavors this month for a limited time only. We're talking about cookies and cream and maple waffle. That works for me. And if that isn't the most comforting, indulgent combination, then I don't know what is. So this is the ultimate treat yourself combo. So make sure that you get some while you can for this limited time, or build your own box because they have lots of available flavors. You can build and customize the bundle like cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, cinnamon. And look, you're talking right now. You can get them wherever you want. They ship to Canada as well, not just the United States. So go to magicspoon.com/fantasypros and grab a new limited edition cookies and cream, maple waffle, or whatever custom bundle you want today. And be sure to use that promo code Fantasy Pros at checkout. Save $5 off your order, and this offer is now good anywhere in the U.S. or Canada, but only when you use that code Fantasy Pros at checkout. So once again, go to magicspoon.com/fantasypros, and Magic Spoon is so confident in their product that it's backed 100% with a happiness guarantee, just like this podcast is. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money. So go get your Magic Spoon today. Just to recap these picks that we've done so far, we'll kind of hit it real quick for the first 16. Trevor Lawrence to the Jacksonville Jaguars. And then, of course, Zach Wilson to the Jets, quarterback from BYU. North Dakota State's QB Trey Lance goes to the 49ers. Then Justin Fields at quarterback, Ohio State. Penei Sewell, and that was Justin Fields to the Broncos, excuse me. Penei Sewell goes to the Cincinnati Bengals, offensive tackle from Oregon. Kyle Pitts, tight end, Florida to Miami. Detroit takes the big wide receiver, Jamar Chase from LSU. Then Rashawn Slater, Carolina, takes him from Northwestern, the offensive tackle. J.C. Horn, corner from South Carolina to Atlanta. Back-to-back corners, Surtain from Alabama going to Dallas. Jalen Waddle, wide receiver to the Giants. Devontae Smith, wide receiver to the Eagles. Both these guys, is a nice Alabama run here with Surtain, Waddle, Devontae Smith, and Christian Barmore to the Chargers. And then you got Jalen Phillips, Minnesota Vikings, edge rusher from Miami. Mac Jones getting a spot with Bill Belichick. Fascinating how that all kind of played out. He goes to New England Patriots. Arizona taking Newsom the second, a cornerback from Northwestern, which means we're up to the Raiders. And Trevor, good luck with this, because I have no idea what the Raiders want to do. I don't think they know. So I just want to have some fun here. So there's no pressure, because clearly the Raiders are off the reservation with this offseason. So what do you think they should do when it's their pick in the first?
This is the most difficult team to mock for, I think. No doubt Agreed. About it, just because you have no idea what this team is thinking. We're taught as a fundamental of football that offensive line is where you build their offense. And the Las Vegas Raiders had a top 10 offense the last 2 years, and John Gruden and Mike Mayock just went, nope. We're gonna get rid of all that. We're gonna move on. We're gonna do something else. And so I don't know. I guess they have big plans for the guys who are playing offensive line who are currently slotted there, because you know Tevin Jenkins I think is a perfect offensive lineman here if you want him from Oklahoma State. But I don't know if the Raiders just got rid of all their offensive linemen to simply draft another offensive lineman. So I'm not gonna pick Tevin Jenkins. I think that he would be a good selection for them. I'm actually gonna pick Micah Parsons. I'm gonna go on the defense side of the ball because. Nice. They have a linebacker need, a heavy linebacker need. They have to get more athletic at linebacker. They have to have guys who have better coverage potential than the players that they brought in over the last couple of years. But they also need edge rusher. Micah Parsons came into Penn State as an edge rusher, so he has that edge rushing, pass rushing background to him. Might be the best of both worlds. You get a guy to play right in the middle. He can play downhill. He can defend the run. He can give you stuff in coverage. I just think they're going to love him, so we'll go Micah Parsons here.
Are you surprised at all, Trevor, that he lasted this long?
No, I have him as a top 10 player in this class. I do, but like there's some off the field whispers about him, and I think the teams are going to be a little bit put off by him. And two, he plays linebacker. For as much as I like him, he still plays linebacker. And some people will tell you that linebacker is the running back of the defense, meaning you could just get a lot of them and there's plenty of linebackers to go around every single year. I don't think there's plenty of Micah Parsons to go around every year, but I could see why he might be a guy who goes later towards the top 20.
All right, Yates, you are back on the clock with the Dolphins there. This is their second pick in the first round. So you already got Kyle Pitts, so where do you go next?
Yeah, so Miami needs an edge rusher here, but I think that looking at the overall strength of this class and how deep it is, I think that they can wait until pick number 36. There's going to be a player that will not be on the board by pick 36, and that is Najee Harris, the running back out of Alabama. Yes, we're going back to Alabama. But reuniting him with Tua Tagovailoa, you do have a need at running back on this roster. For everything you want to say about Myles Gaskin, Savon Ahmed, and now Malcolm Brown, they're not Najee Harris, right? Harris is able to step in and carry a huge workload. And now Tua, all he has to do is get the ball into his playmaker's hands, whether that is Kyle Pitts to Devontae Parker to Will Fuller or Najee Harris out of the backfield. This makes a ton of sense.
Wow, all of a sudden that offense looks very different year over year when this first round's going to be over. Washington football team and John McKechnie with the 20th overall pick. You are now on the clock. John, obviously the defense very good last year. They made some additions with Fitzpatrick and Curtis Samuel this offseason. So what do you want to give them next?
So I think that defense is the identity of the football team right now. I think that's kind of what helped them win the division this past year. And, you know, the front seven is strong, namely the edges. But I think if they go with Jeremiah Owusu-Komorora out of Notre Dame. I think that would be an absolute slam dunk pick. That adds even more athleticism to what is a ridiculously athletic front seven already. He can make plays all over the field. I know he's not your traditional linebacker. He's 6'1", 221, but you have a guy in Josh Harvey Clemens there who could be projected to start, who I don't think is necessarily someone that you want to be plugging in to be the guy that's playing the majority of your snaps there. So I think Jeremiah Owusu-Komorora would be the move for Washington if he's there.
Trevor, you are up next with the Chicago Bears, another team trying to figure out its identity. Boy, I don't know what happened here. Yates must have spun these lottery balls. And you got some tough outs, man. You got the Raiders. You got the Bears. This is tough. We should send you an edible arrangement when this is all over.
I am. Well, I won't say no to an edible arrangement.
Well, who would? I mean, come on.
Right. Kyle knows that I'm the Draft Network guy. I cover this 365, so he gave me the hard stuff. So I'll take it, though. Chicago Bears, I think it's got to be offensive line. I mean, we've talked about if a quarterback makes it to 20, maybe they pick them, although they already tweeted out that Andy Dalton's QB1, so that might be a little awkward with the social team. They could certainly look at wide receiver because there's not a lot of certainty past this year, but we're also in a situation where if Ryan Pace, the general manager, and Matt Nagy, the head coach, fail, they're gone anyway. So they're not really thinking beyond 2021. I think they got to put the best roster out there, and so that's why I'm taking Elijah Vera Tucker, the interior offensive lineman from USC, because he gives you a lot of versatility. That offensive line in Chicago is bad in multiple spots, at the tackles and on the interior, and so Vera Tucker, he can help you get that quote-unquote best five available out there on your offensive line. If it is most advantageous to them to play him at right guard, play him at right guard. Left tackle, doesn't matter. He can give you a lot of versatility, so we're going Vera Tucker here.
Versatility is a good thing. Let's see what the Indianapolis Colts have in mind here. Yates, you're on the pick for the 22nd overall in the first round of the NFL draft with the Colts.
Yeah, so I am going to go with a left tackle here. You see Anthony Costanzo leave for retirement this offseason. You bring in Sam Tevi. Guess what? He's not your long-term answer there at left tackle. There is potentially a long-term answer here, and it's not the guy that I think people are going to think about. I'm going to go a little bit further down the consensus board and grab my OT3 in this class. That is Sam Cosmi, the offensive tackle out of Texas. Big boy playing left tackle, absolutely has the size that you want. You need Carson Wentz to have a solid offensive line in front of him to be successful. Cosmi still has an excellent ceiling. Like, he still has room to grow and can reach that, but yet he does bring a safe floor. So I'm going to go Cosmi here, the offensive tackle out of Texas, to help protect Carson Wentz.
Very good. I got quite a reaction from the room, and this is why you're watching on YouTube as well, and you can check out the board as this is unfolding. So if you're listening and you want to actually watch this and see the board kind of develop and also some of the reactions. So Trevor, you had quite a reaction from the Cosmi pick. What's your take on this?
I like Cosmi. He was a high offensive tackle for me going into summer scouting, coming into this previous college football season. My only worry about him is kind of where you also see a strength. He's huge, right? He's 6'6", 6'7", and you love the length that he brings you and how he can blanket defenders. He's very in control. I'm somewhat worried about his center of gravity, like his balance. He seems he's just so tall that sometimes he plays a little bit on his toes just because of how he's built. And I wonder how much that will hurt him going into the NFL, because you could see it when he tries to anchor and guys try to bull rush him. It takes him a couple of extra steps. He has the anchor ability, like he has the strength. Mm-hmm. He just doesn't do it as naturally because his center of gravity is more towards his toes than his heels. And so I really like him as an offensive tackle prospect, but he is a fascinating guy for me to watch going into the NFL because of that.
All right, John, you are up next with the Tennessee Titans, a team that lost a lot of players year over year. So they need a lot, but this is only one pick. It's just one man. So who do you think that man is here for them first off the board?
So we talked about earlier in the show, like the draft kind of starts at three, and for the receiver class, you know, we talk about how deep this class is. I think the top three is kind of a lock, and the fourth receiver off the board is the question mark in most people, and that's where you start to see the variance among analysts. For me, I think it's Terrace Marshall out of LSU. I mean, he was a really solid producer. I still don't understand why he doesn't quite get the hype that I think he deserves. Really good athlete, solid producer. Lost a little bit of game time in 2019 to a foot injury. Obviously, Ja'Marr Chase was being a star. Justin Jefferson is amazing as well. But, I mean, this guy is awesome, and he can fill physically the same role, the type of role. I know the offense will be different without Arthur Smith, but you can replace Corey Davis with Terrace Marshall. I think you take that if you're Tennessee.
Yeah, well, certainly they have got a hole there in the wide receiving core. No doubt about that. A lot of targets left. Do you think Marshall is somebody, John, that can impact right away and go and be ready?
I do.
I think they're going to need that, right?
That's true. That's a good point. But I think that he has what that takes. I mean, he was someone that on a per target basis was efficient from the time he got to LSU and was actually a bigger recruit by the recruiting services than Ja'Marr Chase was. So I think he's totally ready. He's built and he's good to go.
All right, Trevor, you're back on the board for the Jets. They got their franchise QB. So where do you go next?
Yeah, now they're going to protect him even more.
There you go.
You've got the guy at left tackle, Mekhi Becton. He had a fantastic rookie season, but I don't think they have everything figured out on the right side. Tevin Jenkins is still here, and he's played both left tackle and right tackle, but he's played right tackle more recently over the last 2 years. And man, this last year, he was a mean cuss. And if you get him on the right side and Mekhi Becton on the other, these are two dudes who are like Bash brothers. Like you said, like if you got two edge rushers that you think you got confidence in, I'm going to tell them to go up against the New York Jets, see what actually happens, because these dudes at such young ages can be true bookend tackles for what's going to be the future quarterback in Zach Wilson for a long time. And so I don't often get to pick Tevin Jenkins for the Jets here at 25. He's normally off the board, but if they got the chance, whew, that's going to be a nasty duo.
These are words you might never hear again. Things are working out for the Jets. Now that I've said it, let's move on. Pittsburgh. The Steelers, a disappointing end to the season. Now they've got the 25th overall pick here. So, Yates, you are on the clock with Pittsburgh. Najee Harris is gone, so do they go for another running back, or is there something else you think they need more?
No, if Najee was on the board, I think they would think very long and hard about it, but he's gone, so I'm going to focus on their other position of need, and that is corner. There is, you know, we talked about Caleb Farley at the top of the show saying that he's got the back injuries, he's got the back concern. I don't really care. I think this is a perfect spot where you kind of mitigate that risk, where you say at 24 overall, with the need that we have at corner, where we move on from a couple of key players here this offseason, to bring in a player as talented as Caleb Farley, a top 10 talent in this class. Now it's all about the durability. I will go with Farley here, the corner out of Virginia Tech.
I like that you got the golf clap out of Trevor on that one. So very
that
nice.
That was a good pick. That's very a really nice. Good pick.
That's a good pick. You got to love that. You got to love when the room responds to you. All right. Jacksonville Jaguars with their second pick here in the first round. McKechnie, you are on and up for the Jacksonville Jaguars. So is it going to continue to follow suit? Just keep on taking offensive linemen after you take your quarterback? Is that what we're doing here?
I mean, that could be in play. I think that they have enough at both tackle spots right now to where that's not a huge need. I could totally understand it. I mean, tackle is deep and you could still get a good one at this stage. But I think they attack the linebacking core. Having a guy in Joe Schobert out there playing so many snaps at middle linebacker, I don't think that's a winning strategy. So I think you get kind of a very versatile player in Zaven Collins out of Tulsa. I think that he's an instant playmaker. You put him next to Miles Jack, and you got some other athletic edge rushers too in that front seven. I really like the way that defense looks if Collins is there.
All right, so there you go. Zaven Collins goes to Jacksonville, which puts Trevor back on the clock with the Cleveland Browns. Trevor, you're up.
I love the idea of just putting two crazy athletic freaks
on
the edge. You know, you got Myles Garrett on one side, and you can have Jason Owe on the other. That's what I'm going with. I mean, I understand that Jason Owe did not have a single sack last year, but the production is there. It's not always about the sacks, and I feel like if you are a defensive line coach, and you believe in your abilities to coach, there's no way you can't look at this guy and say, I can make him an impact edge rusher. And so this is their biggest need. This is Cleveland's biggest need. Go after it and try to swing for the fences. You're a playoff team now, Cleveland. Do what you got to do. Go get the guy who gives you the highest ceiling. Go get Jason Owe from Penn State.
You're a playoff team now, Cleveland. And things are working out for the Jets. I don't know. I think we might have to take a break soon again. I don't know where we're going. Things are really unraveling quickly here. The world is changing right before our eyes. Yates, you're back on the clock for the Baltimore Ravens, another playoff team. So how do they get back there again? What piece can they add?
Yeah, this is typically where you see edge rusher. You know, you look at Pernell McPhee and Tyus Bowser are the only starting edges on this roster heading into next season. But I think that there can be a guy that they can get there at edge in the second round, because there is a key player here still on the board, and that is Rashad Bateman, the wide receiver out of Minnesota. Yes, they added Sammy Watkins. they added Sammy Watkins. Okay, like they're okay, we move on, right? Like that should affect their draft strategy in no way. So Rashad Bateman here, I'm a big, big fan of his game. I think that he can step right in here and be that reliable contested catch receiver for, which is surprising given his size, but yet also has tremendous speed, which we know Baltimore loves here on offense. So I will go with Bateman, wide receiver out of Minnesota at 27 overall.
I can't argue that no one's more Sammy Watkins than Sammy Watkins. I just can't argue it. New Orleans, you are on the clock. John McKechnie, you have the pick.
Let's see. I'm going to go that New Orleans. I can't quite tell what this offense is going to look like without Drew Brees. And it's freaking me out a little bit. But still, they lost Emmanuel Sanders this offseason. I think they need to have a dog alongside him in that receiving core. They have some nice, you know, wide receiver three, wide receiver four types, but I'm going to go with a guy that I think has been moving up draft boards a little bit. Maybe this is a little bit higher of a projection than where he'll actually land. I love Elijah Moore out of Ole Miss going to this offense. I think that would be a really, really strong pick. He can play slot, but I think he also has the density to play a little bit outside as well. And just the production speaks for itself, and he crushed the pro day. I mean, for me, it's green checks all around. Like he's looking like a guy that should go in the first round, in my opinion.
All right, so Bateman and Moore, back-to-back wide receivers going, which, unfortunately for Green Bay, now they're kind of looking at a different board. So, Trevor, what do you do if you're Green Bay now? You just take a kicker, right? I mean, just piss off the fan base completely like you do every year in the first round. So, but all, in all honesty, what do you do now? Because that had to be a little hurtful. Like you had those two big wide receivers go off the board back to back.
As someone who grew up in Tampa, Florida, let me tell you how well it goes when you pick a kicker before you should. It does not go well. So I think that offensive line is probably the biggest need here for the Green Bay Packers. Normally, this is tough because this player is not on the board, but Christian Darrisaw is still here, and Darrisaw played left tackle for Virginia Tech. You have David Bakhtiari, who's one of the best left tackles in the NFL, but you got to believe that Darrisaw's at least going to be able to bring you comparable skill to move over to that right side and potentially have a lot of flexibility with the other offensive linemen that they have there to play and fill out the middle. So, man, when you watch Christian Darrisaw, he doesn't quite give you that mean streak that you want to see for a guy who is as dominant as he is. I mean, he could just absolutely impose his will on a lot of edge rushers, and sometimes he's comfortable locking them up. So I almost want somebody to, like, John Henderson pregame slap him in the face, like, before, you know, like, he goes out there to play, because, man, if he kind of just gets that mean streak to him, he's going to be one of the best offensive linemen in the NFL. He is so athletic for his size.
I'd sign up for that job as long as I had, like, some sort of insurance protection program or something like that. I think that's pretty good.
If anybody out there has never seen the video of John Henderson, the defensive lineman from Jacksonville, getting slapped in the face pregame, pause this, make sure you come back to it, and then go over to YouTube and check it out, and then restart this podcast because you need it in your life.
Oh, love it. All right, Buffalo Bills, Yates, you are up and on the clock here, and boy, that did not take long. He threw that name up real quick into his board. He was ready with this one. He was just waiting and waiting and waiting. As soon as Trevor was done, boom, he makes the pick. What is it?
Yeah, let's not waste any time here. You need a corner two opposite of Trey White. Josh Norman, you know, it hasn't been it. Levi Wallace re-signing on that one-year deal, but you know what? Get Eric Stokes here. The guy who ran a 4.25 at his pro day can absolutely fly. Physical, can be a perfect corner two for this defense. That's what you need here. So I will go with Eric Stokes, the corner out of Georgia.
All right. And that brings John McKechnie up next with the Kansas City Chiefs. John, we're getting close to closing things out here. Let's finish strong.
So we saw that the offensive line, especially the tackles, were an issue for the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, but they did kind of address that, and there were some injuries that played into that. Some guys will be back. So I think that they are just going to kind of supercharge this receiving core and really continue to maximize what they're putting around Patrick Mahomes. And, you know, this is a guy who I have some concerns about just because the injury history and the durability concerns, but man, I can't think of a more fun landing spot than Rondale Moore in Kansas City. I think that would be absolutely electric. You get him playing in the slot. I mean, just, you know, Patrick Mahomes doesn't need to dump it off necessarily all the time, but, you know, I think it makes the intermediate part of that passing attack even more lethal potentially. So give me Rondale Moore there with the Chiefs.
Because that's what he needs, more weapons, because he doesn't have exactly enough toys, right? I mean, geez.
Well, you did lose Sammy Watkins.
Oh, true. I mean, right. And you know what? That also means he also lost Sammy Watkins. Let's go to Tampa. Trevor, hopefully you're feeling better since growing up in Tampa after this year. I imagine this was a good feeling for you, and you're riding that high. So let's finish out the first round here with the Tampa Bay Bucks, the defending reigning champions of the world.
Man, I have never seen a board like this with Tampa on the clock. Like, there are so many different players. Ojulari is still here. Kwity Paye is still here. Mm. Trayvon Merrick is still here. And so I feel like I could come up with a reason to draft all of those guys, maybe Kadarius Toney as well. But I'm going to go with Travis Etienne. I understand that they brought back playoff Lenny. Sorry, Lombardi Lenny.
Lombardi.
And they brought him back into the backfield to play next to Ronald Jones. But I think Etienne still gives you that home run ability. He still gives you that this year potential that he could really impact that starting lineup. And then, of course, Leonard Fournette only signed a one-year deal. Ronald Jones is on the last year of his deal. There's a chance that you get Etienne here, get him in for a playoff run, which we assume the Buccaneers will have again. And then maybe next year they have the full confidence to move on from both Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette. And Travis Etienne can just be kind of like the workhorse with Keyshawn Vaughn right behind him as the RB2. So I'm still going to go running back here. I'll go Travis Etienne with the elite speed ability.
Fascinating pick here. And what a way to close things out. All the fantasy people watching are very excited about all of this. And to recap what we just saw unfold here over on the YouTube page is Micah Parsons, linebacker, Penn State, going to Vegas. Then you have Miami at 19, Najee Harris, running back from Alabama. Washington taking Owusu-Koramoah from Notre Dame, the linebacker. Then Vera Tucker going at 21, the Chicago Bears, the the offensive lineman there. Then you had offensive tackle Texas Samuel Cosmi from going to the Indianapolis Colts. The Tennessee Titans taking Terrace Marshall Jr., a wide receiver from LSU. Then the New York Jets at 24, taking Tevin Jenkins, offensive tackle from Oklahoma State. Caleb Farley going to the Pittsburgh Steelers at 25 out of Virginia Tech. Continuing to recap, Zaven Collins, linebacker of Tulsa, going to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Owe, the edge rusher from Penn State, going to Cleveland to pair on the other side there. That is going to be a long day, like I said, at the office for offensive linemen with those two guys rushing. Rashad Bateman, Baltimore wide receiver, taking Rashad Bateman, wide receiver, going from Minnesota to Baltimore. New Orleans taking Elijah Moore, wide receiver from Ole Miss. Christian Darrisaw, Green Bay, offensive tackle from Virginia Tech. Eric Stokes being selected by the Buffalo Bills, cornerback from Georgia. Rondell Moore, Kansas City Chiefs, wide receiver from Purdue. Travis Etienne closing things out here, Tampa Bay, the running back from Clemson. So a good first round. Everybody feeling good? Everybody feeling fresh? You ready to can now turn the page to number two here, boys?
Yes, sir.
All right, very good. Before we do that, I want to thank our friends at Pristine Auction. They are another sponsor of today's show. They have daily auctions ending nightly with hundreds of lots and tons of stuff for the man cave or for your woman cave out there. Incredible stuff. We're talking sports memorabilia, sports cards, autographed jerseys, autographed balls, you name it, they've got it. Not to mention all of the cool other stuff they've got too. They've got great pro wrestling products, great Marvel products. There's so many cool things on pristineauction.com. Everything there is authentic. Everything is guaranteed. Things are affordable too. Not everything is thousands of dollars, which makes it fun. So you can get in there and get involved in the action at Pristine Auction. And obviously it's free to register. It's free to bid. And you only pay when you actually win something. So please go to pristineauction.com and put in the code FANTASYPROS. Again, that's all one word, FANTASYPROS, in the registration code field located at the top of the registration page. And boom, just like that, you are now part of it. And you get free money. You get a credit when you do, when you sign up using that one word, FANTASYPROS, in that code. So sign up at Pristine Auction to get today. Again, that's pristineauction.com, P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E, auction.com. I am so excited to do the second round, boys, because I felt like we had a good pace here in the first round. This is the only place where the NFL draft is going to happen in an hour. Look at us. We just nailed through all of that. It's very impressive stuff. They should put us in charge of the coverage. Let's go and kick things off here with the second round. The second round begins where the first round, I believe, began as well. And you guys are already trying to make some picks here. And I want you to slow down here. There's a lot for the poor host to kind of, you know, make sure that he's got everything together. So Jacksonville's on the clock. Who's got the Jacksonville pick? I'll tell you who. It's Mr. Yates. So go ahead. What are you doing?
Yeah, so Trevor and I recently did a mock draft over on the Draft Network's YouTube channel, and I took Pat Freiermuth at 25 overall, and I'm going to take him here at number 33 overall because I think we're going to see Freiermuth go in the back end of round one, early round two. He is exactly what this offense needs in Jacksonville. You look at the speed that they've already got in-house, right? Laviska Shenault can move. DJ Chark, of course, can move. And I think that you need that solid, reliable receiving option over the middle of the field. You still have several picks left in this draft where you can add another speedy wide receiver if you want to, another speedy running back out of the backfield. So I'm going to go with Pat Freiermuth because he fills a huge hole, a huge need here on this roster, and is a very, very talented player out of Penn State.
That'll put the Jets now up with John McKechnie making this selection. So where are you going, John?
So kind of like what Trevor was saying, where you reach the end of the first round, you still have some this isn't the best edge class by any means, but you still have some of the best edge rushers still available. And obviously with these last two picks with Etienne and Freiermuth, those aren't edge guys. So guys like Ojulari, Kwity Paye, still available. I'm going to go with Azeez Ojulari. I know that he might not have that prototypical frame and length for your edge rusher, but, I mean, you watch the tape. I mean, just an absolute closer. You watch the Peach Bowl, just racking up sacks left and right. Was productive each of his 2 years that he was playing at Georgia, redshirted as a freshman. But just he's got good arm length, good bend. He's got all the moves. So I really like this pick for the Jets, who, you know, only had 31 sacks a year ago.
Trevor, you're now on the clock with the Atlanta Falcons. So where do you go?
With this board the way that it is, if the Atlanta Falcons can somehow get out of their first two picks with a trade back, J.C. Horn and Kwity Paye, they are going to old school, we're going streaking kind of celebrate because this is, I mean, like, that hits every single need that would possibly want. Getting extra draft picks, getting another shutdown corner, getting an edge rusher. So, I mean, like, these are the big things that ends up with Kwity Paye on the board. I mean, Atlanta was smiling from ear to ear when Kyle picked Freiermuth, which was a good pick because it meant that they were going to get one of Ojulari and Paye. So this is a home run here with Kwity.
Ah, things have worked out here for the Falcons in this draft. I hope it works out for them on draft day. Miami is up next. Yates, you've got a lot of toys there. Now, are you going to address the defense a little bit? Is it time?
Yeah, let's focus on the defense here. So we took Kyle Pitts. I've made all three selections for Miami, actually.
Yes,
so
you have.
Kyle Pitts,
you're in control.
Florida. And then we took Najee Harris there, the running back out of Alabama at 18. Here at 36 overall, let's go with edge. Let's go with Joe Tryon, the edge player out of Washington. I'm a big fan of his very, very active hands. Just lit up his pro day with tremendous athleticism. So I'm going Joe Tryon here. I think that, you know, we didn't get to see him play. He opted out of 2020, so it's been a while since we've seen him on the football field, but yet can be a very, very impactful player and at a key position of need here on the defense. So Joe Tryon, edge player out of Washington.
That is three straight edge rushers going to the Jets, the Falcons, and Miami. Ojulari, Paye, and then this latest selection from Yates, which puts back now the Philadelphia Eagles. And John McKechnie, you are picking for the Eagles here.
I think they address the middle of their defense or the inside linebacker position specifically. I think they go with Baron Browning. I think that he's someone who maybe the production doesn't stick out to you too much, but I think the athleticism is pretty ridiculous if you look at his pro day numbers. So I think that there's a lot of untapped potential there when it comes to him. And, you know, in the second round, you're ready for that. And I think that, you know, he can play through those growing pains as well and pick up a lot of snaps as a rookie.
Cincinnati Bengals are up next here. Trevor, you're on the clock for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Preached about offensive line additions at number five with them going Penei Sewell, and I'm sticking with offensive line. I'm going to take the swing, and I'm going to go with Landon Dickerson. Landon Dickerson is a top 10 player in this draft for me. You pop on his tape, and I don't know what more you would want to see as a center. He has got 90th percentile size across the board. He's a great athlete. He loves football. And if you want to talk about toughness, I mean, you can almost flip the injury history on its head. The guy has played five seasons in college football, and four of them have ended with season-ending surgeries, but he continues to come back, and he had what was this past year is his best year yet. So, dude loves football. He's an incredible player. His tape watches like a comedy because it's defensive guys trying to go up against a Mack truck in open space. So, look, you take the risk on him if you're Cincinnati, and I think that you're getting a hell of an interior player if you get him here.
Joe Burrow's got to be feeling really good about this draft that you've done here. You got to be really good. He's got some hosses there now in front of him. I like this a lot. Carolina is picking next. Yates, you are up on the clock for the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, Trevor took Rashawn Slater at number 8 overall. So we've got the offensive line taken care of. Let's focus on their next need here, and that is corner. And I'm going to go with a player a little bit further down. You know, you could look at guys like Asante Samuel Jr., Aaron Robinson. I know that Trevor and I have talked about Aaron Robinson. Like, we don't really see it. But yeah, there is a player here. When you look at Carolina, they're still in a long-term rebuild, right? Like Matt Rhule, they're going to be patient with this. Yes, they took Sam Darnold, but he's still going to have his growing pains. And this defense still needs to add some size opposite of the corners that they've got there. I'm going to go with Kelvin Joseph, the corner out of Kentucky. Just ran a 4.34 at his pro day at Kentucky. He's a late riser in this process, but I think that he does still have some growing to do. But if he puts it all together and he figures it out, they've got a steal here in the second round.
All right, there you have it. Denver is back on the clock now. John McKechnie, what is the selection?
So I think, you know, with Philip Lindsay being jettisoned this offseason, I think that they could use another running back here, and there's a bunch of different directions that they could go, of course. I think it's going to be Javonte Williams, though, if they end up in this spot and he's still available. You know, they've done a good job addressing their future with Justin Fields, obviously, in their first round, getting him a nice running back that can really pick up the tough yardage the way that Williams can. I think that'd be a strong pickup for them. So I think Denver goes running back in the second round. And I think the way the board's set up, Javonte Williams would be
the pick. That makes a ton of sense, John. I think they got to be loving life if that happens, too, because I do think that's a need for this team. I do not think they are set by any stretch at running back at this point. Detroit Lions, and Trevor, you're back on the clock here for the Lions.
I am so shocked that Trayvon Merrick made it to this point. I think he's the top safety in the class, and I think that he's clearly the top safety in this class. I think he's got a chance to go in round one. So for him to be available here at, what do we pick, 42, 43,
we
something?
Are. I mean, 42.
Like that's pretty crazy to me. If the Lions could come away with getting Jamar Chase in the first round and then Trayvon Merrick in the second round, I think that is addressing their two biggest needs on each side of the ball. They had to get a dominant wide receiver one, and their safety room was one of the, I'll just say, most disappointing safety rooms in the NFL last season. So Trayvon Merrick gives you a lot of versatility, including playing single high cover one, which is what everybody is always coveting. So I'm going to give the Detroit Lions Trayvon Merrick here.
43rd overall pick in the draft is the Giants, and that means, Yates, you're back on the clock.
Yeah, Joseph Osai. I'm going to go with the edge rusher here out of Texas for Dave Gettleman. And the you know, he loves athleticism at those key positions. They have a huge need at edge. They took the wide receiver in the first round, so let's double back here and let's get a key position of need with a very, very talented player. I'll go Joseph Osai here, the edge player out of Texas at number 42 overall.
Back to the 49ers at 44, so San Fran's on the clock, and that means John McKechnie is as well.
It felt like San Francisco never fully replaced DeForest Buckner, the loss from last season. So I think they attack the defensive interior this time around, see what they can do. I know that they got Javon Kinlaw last year, but I think Levi... I'm really challenging myself with these names. Onwuzurike out of Washington. So another Husky going in this round, I think, would make plenty of sense. He's not a huge space eater, but an athletic guy nonetheless. And I think that he would be a nice addition to the middle of that defense. Again, a little bit undersized. So maybe that's not what their traditional MO has been as far as drafting defensive linemen goes. But I think if he's there, you got to really think hard about it.
All right, that'll bring up the Dallas Cowboys and Trevor for the next pick, which is 45 overall.
Yeah, Dallas has needs at both edge and on the interior. So there's a player that's still on the board that can potentially fill both of those roles for you. Not at the same time. You're not going to clone him, but he could be very versatile for you here. And that's Gregor Rousseau, the pass rusher from Miami. Had the 15.5 sack season in his first season as a starter, and then he opted out this past year. And so it was a lot of effort production that we saw with those 15.5 sacks, but he's got a great body type. I mean, like, he is a long, lean pass rusher who can add plenty of weight onto that. We already kind of saw that at his pro day and what we've seen that he's been working on over the past year. So he gives you a lot of flexibility. At Miami, he played 5-tech edge rusher. He played wide nine. He played 3-tech defensive tackle, and they even lined him up at nose tackle sometimes to make it really difficult on the center. So he knows how to play a lot of those positions. Hasn't mastered them yet, but for a team like Dallas, which has a lot of needs across the defensive line, I think that's where you want to hit him.
Yates, you're back with the Jaguars again at number 46. Lots of Jags picks in this draft, boys and girls.
Yeah, we know that Urban Meyer loves speed, so let's give him speed. Let's go Kadarius Toney, wide receiver out of Florida here. Now, where exactly he fits in this offense right now, I'm not particularly sure. But yet, it doesn't really matter, because when you can get a player like Toney with some scheme touches here, I know that Urban Meyer is going to love to make him a key part of this offense. So now you have, you took Trevor Lawrence. You've got to do everything you can to surround him with a solid supporting cast. They did a really good job in free agency of shoring up some key positions of need. So let's take a luxury pick here at 45 overall, and let's get a talented player.
John, your face lit up for the luxury pick. You like the Toney selection here for Jacksonville?
That's great. I mean, the brand synergy is great. Florida guys to Jacksonville, it always feels like it makes sense. I don't know if it always works out, the Taven Bryans of the world, but I think if anyone can really figure out what Kadarius Toney's supposed to be in the NFL, it's probably Urban Meyer. So I really enjoyed that one, Yates.
All right, let's stick with you, because you've got New England and they're up next at 47 overall.
Well, equally sexy, we're going to the interior offensive line. I'm going Alex Leatherwood. The Patriots just lost Joe Thuney this offseason. I know Leatherwood played more tackle at Bama, but I think he probably athletically projects a little bit better inside. So I think he could pick up right there and take those left guard snaps. So I would go with Leatherwood.
Sounds like an HBO show, doesn't it? Leatherwood.
He's like the mayor of Deadwood or something.
it's like some sort of weird spin-off kind of show. Like you can see it right now on HBO Max, Leatherwood coming this fall. All right, the Chargers are up next here. Trevor, come back to us. It's okay. You are up with the Los Angeles Chargers, and you continue to get like the short stick here so many times. I mean, this is great. Like you are working here. Trevor is working for him.
No, Chargers is fine.
You like the Chargers?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, like we had them go Christian Barmore in the first round, which I understand. I feel like they might lean offensive trenches, but like if you love Barmore, if he can be an impactful guy, I like that. But if you do go Barmore, you have to go offensive line here in the second round. You basically got to pick the better between an offensive tackle or an interior offensive lineman. I thought they did a great job in free agency getting Matt Filer and Corey Linsley. You already have Brian Bulaga, who you hope can really step in on that right side. Let's go with Liam Eichenberg. Liam Eichenberg from Notre Dame is a player who I really like because I think he's very pro-ready. There are a lot of offensive tackles in this class who I think have higher ceilings maybe than Eichenberg, but for how controlled he is and how poised he is, how experienced he is, he's a player who I'm not really worried about when it comes to his learning curve and his adjustment to NFL speeds, if you will. I think that his technique's fantastic, and even though he's not the most athletic offensive tackle to pick from in this class, even from the guys who are still on the board, I really like his pro projection. I think he's going to be a solid starter, and you can play him right away at left tackle.
I got a very hearty dang it from Kyle Yates there. So, Kyle, I hope you've rebounded here and you've had enough time to think about this next pick, because you are now on the clock at number 49 overall with the Las Vegas Raiders.
Oh, man, I really wanted Eichenberg for the Raiders. So I'm going to pivot here. I'm going to go with still a very talented offensive tackle prospect who this is probably the point of the draft where we see him go off, and that is Dylan Raiden, so the offensive tackle out of North Dakota State. I'm going to take him here to be that either your left tackle or your right tackle or left tackle if you want to move Colton Miller around. Again, like Trevor said with, I think it was the Bears, just get your best five on the field. And so I'm going to go with Raiden's here, the offensive tackle out of North Dakota State at 48 overall.
All right, that puts the Arizona Cardinals up next and John McKechnie for the 50th pick in the NFL draft.
I think Arizona might start to address offensive line here in the second round. You know, I don't know how married they are to Calvin Beecham long term. So getting a guy like Jalen Mayfield out of Michigan, I think would make a lot of sense. He's football young, but I think that, you know, you kind of have that year to develop him a little bit with it being set on the bookends with veterans. So I think you can go ahead, get Mayfield as your developmental guy with plenty of upside on top of it.
Was there any temptation to go a Gainwell there?
I think that he's just too similar to Chase Edmonds. Maybe it doesn't matter, aesthetically, I like a little bit more balance in the backfield. But if you're gonna have a guy like Chase Edmonds, maybe get someone that's a little bit more of a thumper, maybe like a Kylan Hill type. Mm-hmm. But that running back definitely crossed my mind there. I just couldn't convince myself at this point of the second to go there for Arizona.
Fair enough. Trevor, you're back on the clock at 51 for the Miami Dolphins.
Okay, Yates is Miami Dolphins here. Yeah, I'm hijacking his draft for them. Okay, so you took Kyle Pitts. You took Najee Harris
and Joe Tryon.
Joe Tryon was the other one. Okay. I'm gonna go on interior offensive line here. And I know they drafted Solomon McKinley. I think that they were happy with how he was able to perform. I know Robert Hunt could also be an interior offensive lineman for you. But I'm gonna pick Wyatt Davis, and I'm gonna do that because I think that they need to move on from Eric Flowers either this year or next year. If they could probably dump him off in like a, hey, we'll give you a sixth round pick if you take Eric Flowers' contract from us, and a team might go, okay, just for the extra draft capital, you might be able to do that, and you can afford to do that if you pick a player like Wyatt Davis. And so there's a lot of different directions Miami could go, but I'll pick Wyatt Davis just so I know they have a good interior offensive lineman if they happen to do that.
Yates, you're up again with Washington at 52.
Yeah, so Washington went with Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah in the first round. You still have a need there at left tackle. Let's go with Brady Christensen, the offensive tackle out of BYU. About as athletic of an offensive tackle as you're going to find. Set a record for the broad jump. I don't have the numbers in front of me. Trevor, do you know off the top of your head what his numbers were?
Very far, Kyle. Very far.
Okay, there we go.
So that is the exact number, by the way.
He jumped very far. That just goes to show his lower body athleticism and it's refined prospect, too. So I'm going to go Brady Christensen here out of BYU to Washington.
All right, that puts the Bears on the clock and John McKechnie for pick number 53 overall.
So it seems like the Anthony Miller experiment in Chicago isn't going to work out. It's too bad. He was like a total, like I was totally in on Anthony Miller coming out of Memphis. But either way, they got to surround that old Andy Dalton with more weapons, right? And I love how Darnell Mooney is progressing, and Allen Robinson is obviously an alpha. But I think if they go Dyami Brown out of North Carolina, he's the best receiver on the board at this point, in my opinion. And, you know, an explosive playmaker, you know, almost 20 yards a catch during his career at North Carolina. So it with a lot of targets to back that up. So I love his explosiveness, and he's a little bit denser than I think you would see on tape. So I think the frame should be able to hold up in the Windy City.
All right, Trevor, you're up next for Tennessee. I believe we went wide receiver with them, if memory serves, correct?
Yeah, went Terrace Marshall in the first round, and so they got a good wide receiver there. Corner has to be where they go here because they were losing a lot of guys. Adoree Jackson's one of them. Malcolm Butler's the other one. And so they have to get a corner that they can just start right away. I think Asante Samuel brings you the best projection to a guy who you could probably start right away. Played well at Florida State. He's great in zone when you can leave him off in cover three and keep his eyes on the quarterback, but also even for a guy who's got smaller size, he knows what he's doing in man coverage. So he's not a scheme limited kind of a player, even though the size would kind of hint that. I think he's a really nice cornerback, and if you can get him this late in the second round, I think the Tennessee would be doing very well for themselves.
All right, that puts Yates back on the clock for the Indianapolis Colts at 55.
Yeah, in the second round last year, Indianapolis went with a USC wide receiver. I'm going to have them do it back-to-back year. So I'm going to go Amon-Ra St. Brown here. Perfect complement to Michael Pittman, of course, reuniting him with Pittman. But then also, you can't rely on Paris Campbell at this point. You know, if he comes back and stays healthy, then great. You have another solid receiving option. But Amon-Ra St. Brown has the ability to be a starting slot receiver from day one, but then also has the size to be able to step outside and be that eventual T.Y. Hilton replacement. So this makes a ton of sense for a knee that they have, and then also just surrounding him. Again, Carson Wentz, just do everything that you can to surround him with playmakers.
The naming in the Brown family is on a different level, man.
Oh, yeah.
Strong. Yes. That is some strong naming. And
have you seen the dad?
Well, the dad was Mr. Universe, right? Yeah, I was going to say, he was this huge guy, right? So, I mean, you know, but still, I mean, when you have a last name, it's so simple like Brown. What he's been able to do with these names,
I will say, earlier today, I learned how to spell Equanimeous St. Brown. Like, very that, well, for prove the first it. Time, like, did it.
Go.
Equanimeous, Equanimeous.
I don't think any of us can check that, so I'm just going to say yes.
Billy Madison spelling, you see.
I am the smartest man alive. All right, let's go with the Pittsburgh Steelers at 56. John McKechnie, what are the Steelers going to do here?
So I think with the way that Brevin Jordan performed at his pro day, I don't think that he'd be the next tight end off the board. This guy, he's not going to be particularly exciting for fantasy purposes in my mind, but he just feels like a Pittsburgh Steeler, and that's Tommy Tremble out of Notre Dame. Oh. So I think that's the move. There's a great film breakdown. I think it was Aaron Taylor. I might retweet it later, but he describes Tommy Tremble in a way that you would think is offensive, but he means it in the most like football guy complimentary way. Just another word for jerk out there on the field. So, I mean, Tremble is that dude. He's going to mix it up in there. AFC North, it just makes all the sense in the world.
Wow, that got quite a reaction. You got a fist pump out of Trevor Sigler there. Trevor, you feeling that pick, my friend?
I love it. Tommy Tremble is so much fun. Now, he has so much that he needs to learn when it comes to the nuances of being a receiving tight end, but there is no doubt about it. When you place this guy a step up behind the line of scrimmage in an H-back position where he's going split zone, coming across the line of scrimmage, he will smack you straight in the chest, and he does it regularly. So that's like a Jonnu Smith role, man. I mean, like, that is what the Titans clearly drafted Jonnu Smith to be, and we've seen how it has blossomed into now him being the highest paid tight end in the NFL, basically. So that's really the same kind of mold and the same kind of place that Jonnu Smith started. So I totally see the vision with Tremble.
And I think Pittsburgh on offense lacks a little bit of that edge. You know, they don't have that same sort of swagger that they used to have. They don't have swagger players on both sides of the ball. It's just a little less swagger. And I guess when you lose to the Browns and you kind of collapse at the end of the season, it's hard to have some swagger. But, you know, kind of have to, you know, get that back. Seattle, finally. Boy, this is their first pick, right? This is the first time we've talked to the Seahawks. Yeah. My goodness. All the way at 56.
One of three.
Trevor, you are on the clock for the Seahawks.
I'm going to go with edge rusher Peyton Turner from Houston. He is just such a unique body type. I mean, this is a guy who is, he's played all the way up at 290 pounds, and he was playing at 270. He plays a 4-eye technique. He could play a 3. He could play nose. He could play as a 5 tech. And when you look at the Seattle Seahawks, I mean, like, they just need really good defensive linemen. And I think that Turner is going to really intrigue them with his size and what he's able to do. And so this might be a little early for some people to hear Peyton Turner's name, but I really do think that he is going to be a back end of the second round, third round kind of a player. So for Seattle, a team that has to take massive swings at the fence, go with Peyton Turner. Go bet on a guy with unique size and unique ability. So I'll pick him here for Seattle.
Gates, who are you going to be betting on at 57 for the Rams?
They could definitely focus on the offensive line, but I'm looking at some of the guys here. Like, Creed Humphrey is definitely someone that I could consider, but also they need help at linebacker. And Jameen Davis is still here, the linebacker out of Kentucky. Also, Nick Bolton is still on the board, but I'm going to go with the guy who's coming off of just ridiculous pro day performance. I think the Rams are going to bet on that athleticism. I'll go with Jameen Davis here, linebacker out of Kentucky.
I like you kind of teased us there. I thought you were going one way, then another way, and then you just completely 180'd around there. I love that. I caught me off guard. The Baltimore Ravens are up next. John McKechnie, 58 overall. What are you giving to the Ravens?
So Baltimore has an issue on their interior offensive line, and they could have a hole at right tackle if this Orlando Brown thing plays out the way that everyone kind of expects at this point, and you know, he gets traded. So I think you need someone that can play both guard and tackle, and Ben Cleveland did that a lot at the University of Georgia. I know that he might not be the most eye-popping guy right now, and definitely way underwhelmed, calling his shot, saying he's going to set the bench press record, and then comes out with 30. I mean, that was pretty disappointing. But either way, the dude eats squirrel. I know this as a Georgia fan. I know all the Ben Cleveland fanfic, and he's just a mean dude in the middle. And I think if you need to, he does have the size to play tackle.
It's hard to get good squirrel nowadays. I mean, it's just
man, in this economy
with, you know, so much negativity and things like that, it's hard to just, you know, just get a simple good squirrel. All right, Cleveland Browns are up next. Trevor, number 59 on the clock, go for it.
We're at the end of the second round. Can we're just tell? Going off the rails at this point.
Just popping off.
Wait till you tune in next week, Trevor, for number 3, where we do the 3 rounds, right? Come on, you're coming back for that, right?
Listen, if there's the delicacy of cooked squirrel, grilled squirrel, then yeah, I'm back in.
If that's what it takes, that's what it takes.
I picked Jason Owe for the Cleveland Browns in the first round. I'm going to stick with defensive line, and I'm going to make the defensive line even meaner. This is a player who, when I project him to the NFL, I just think that he is going to be, I don't know how to say it any way other than this, one of the most solid football players in this class, and that's Tommy Tungiai, the interior defensive lineman from Ohio State. He is a player who, look, okay, he's not going to give you a ton of value right away on third down. That's fine. Play him early. Get him on first and 10. Get him on second and six, and he'll be able to plug up the holes for you, especially if you got Owe on one side and Myles Garrett on the other. Almost a Jason Garrett. Jason Garrett's not nearly as athletic. That wouldn't work out so well. So if you've got those two guys on the edge and you have Tungiai as a true anchor in the middle handling two different gaps, that means you are guaranteeing at least one of those players is getting a one-on-one on almost every single snap. And so that is so much value. I think that we're seeing that with what Vita Vea has been able to do with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Mm-hmm. When you get a player who is that good at what they do in the early downs, it can have value in and of itself, even if they aren't individually giving you that sack production or that disruption production. I think Tommy Tungiai is a great football player, and if he goes to Cleveland, that's a good spot for me.
Yates, you're up next at 61 for the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, let's go. Man, corner is definitely a need, but I don't really like any of the guys that are sitting here at the top of the board. There is a player who has fallen comparative to where we all thought he was going to go. That's Nick Bolton, the linebacker out of Missouri. Mm-hmm. New Orleans does need a linebacker there, opposite of DeMario Davis, to kind of just help shore up that second level there. So I'll go Nick Bolton here, linebacker out of Missouri.
All right, taking advantage of a player that fell a little further than we thought. Buffalo up next, John McKechnie at 62.
Oof, well, that was going to be mine, so one second here, but...
my God, you've knocked him off here. We need a moment. We got to everybody take a deep breath, give you some time.
I am rattled. No, I will go linebacker here still. I'll go Cam McGrone out of Michigan, the redshirt sophomore. Not the biggest guy in the world, but I think that he can fit in the linebacker role in Buffalo's system, so I think McGrone would be the play there.
Trevor staying on brand with the Packers picks today. So at 63, Trevor, where are you going?
Yeah, we didn't go corner at the top because Christian Darrisaw fell to them. And I also think that this is a player falling to them. And that's Ifeatu Melifonwu, the cornerback from Syracuse. He's a long corner. He's got great athleticism to him. He's better at off cover three kind of roles where he can stay a few yards off the line of scrimmage at the snap, keep his eyes on the quarterback, really bait him, and then break on the ball. But I think that his size and how he is an athlete can really lend itself to him learning how to play man coverage as well. So if you got Trey White on one side, Ifeatu Melifonwu on the other, I think that's a strong cornerback group on the outside for I was thinking Buffalo, but
Jair.
You've got Jair, right, Jair Alexander for the Packers mm-hmm. on one side, really just roaming around. And then you've got Ifeatu Melifonwu shutting down the outside.
Very good. All right, before we lose ourselves completely, we got two more picks. Stay strong, gentlemen. We're almost here. Kansas City Chiefs, Kyle Yates, 64. Do it.
Yeah, well, Kansas City had a ton of fun there with taking Rondale Moore in the first round, but you still got to do something at offensive tackle. So I'm going to go with Spencer Brown, the offensive tackle out of Northern Iowa, coming off of just another ridiculous pro day performance here. Just a ridiculous athlete for his size. So he's not really ready to contribute yet, but yet looking at the overall board, you got to have someone there to play offensive tackle. So I will go Spencer Brown here at the end of the second round.
John, you started this whole thing off here with Trevor Lawrence, and listen to this beautiful symmetry. We're going to come back to you here with Tampa Bay to close things out at 65 in the second round.
Oh, how do you shop for the team that has everything, really? So this could go so many different ways. I mean, they're set basically. So, I mean, it's, you know,
squirrel?
What else can I add? I'll go with Carlos Basham, the edge rusher out of Wake Forest to round it out. You can never have too many edge rushers. You don't know how long JPP is going to be around. So getting his eventual replacement, I think would be a strong way for Tampa to round out their second round.
All right. So Basham closes out the second round. So John, let's start with you first here. Looking back here at this second round, is there a favorite pick, least favorite pick? And it doesn't have to be one of yours. It could be somebody else's that you think this is just a really good fit, in particular, that you like to highlight here in the second round.
Well, you know, to pump my own chest, I mean, the reaction from the Tremble pick made me feel good. But, you know, looking elsewhere, I think the Landon Dickerson pick is awesome. I think that adds, you know, an anchor to the middle of that Cincinnati offensive line. I think that's going to work out really well. Kadarius Toney to Jacksonville, very interesting too. Asante Samuel, I was definitely thinking, because I had the Tennessee pick in the first round, and I was very tempted to go Eric Stokes there, ended up going receiver instead. But being able to go ahead and get Asante Samuel on the back end of that, I think would be a really fortunate turn for Tennessee. So I really like that pick from Trevor as well.
Yates, how about you? When you look back now at the second round and how it unfolded, was there a pick that you loved, and was there a pick that you maybe hated or maybe despised? Because I already know that you got sniped at least once here in the second round, but but overall, when you step back and look at it, is there a pick that you're like, this guy is just such a great fit here for this team?
Yeah, there's a couple. One is Azeez Ojulari going to the New York Jets there at the top of the second round. That's just a perfect fit for what they need to pair with Carl Lawson. I think it's just a perfect complement. And then also Liam Eikenberg, the guy who Trevor sniped me on or sniped me with. You know, I'll go Liam Eikenberg there to Los Angeles. If you did go with the trenches in the first round and on the defense, you definitely do need to still address the offensive tackle position at some point. Eikenberg falling all the way to the middle of the second round is really, really good value.
Yates, any surprise guys not get picked in these two rounds for you?
I think that they're not really, man. I think that there are some guys that you could make the case for at the end of the second round. I mean, Javon Holland, the safety out of Oregon, I'm a big fan of his. Jabril Cox coming over from North Dakota State, played at LSU, the linebacker there. And then Creed Humphrey, I think, would be the only other one that I would say. Really surprised that Creed Humphrey didn't go in the second round, but it's also hard to find a place for him when you look at the interior or the needs of teams that need the interior of the offensive line. So makes sense.
Trevor, your take on the second round, any favorite picks for certain teams, or you think this is just a perfect fit?
I mean, you know, if Atlanta and Detroit can get lucky enough to draft edge rushers like Quiddy Pay and then a safety like Trayvon Merrick, I think that that's a home run. I also really love Kadarius Toney getting to go to Jacksonville. I think that Toney, for as much as people love his athleticism, it's not just as simple as, yeah, just draft the athlete. I think that there's a lot of development that he needs to still do with route running and everything like that. But I would trust a player or a coach like Urban Meyer to really get the most out of him. So obviously the Tremble pick got a big reaction from me. So I love that one too. So that those are a couple that really stood out to me.
All right. You can follow Trevor on Twitter at Tampa Bay Trey, T-R-E, by the way. Trevor, tell everybody what you got going on right now and all the stuff that's happening at the Draft Network.
Yeah, I mean, we're coming down the home stretch like you guys are here at Fantasy Pros. I mean, if anybody out there is listening to this and maybe we named a name that you didn't quite know as well, we have an entire database of prospects. We've got over 400 final scouting reports that are all trait-by-trait breakdowns. Wow. That you can check out over at thedraftnetwork.com. And then if you like what we did here, you can do your own mock draft because we've got a mock draft machine over there that's a lot of fun to use. And so appreciate you guys having me on this. This is a blast to do. Hopefully we can do it again.
Well, hopefully it felt like fun and not like work. That's what we're trying to do here.
Come on, man. You love what you do. You don't work a day in your life, right? So this is great to do.
100%. You can also follow our good friend for not only fantasy advice and college football advice, but also clearly about men's grooming advice as well. John McKechnie, you can follow him on Twitter at John's_tailgate. John, what's happening at RotoWire right now for you? Excuse me.
So yeah, we, you know, like Trevor, are in full draft mode on the NFL side of things. So myself and Mario Puig are kind of spearheading that. I'm also in charge of our sports betting content. So check out our sports betting specific Twitter at RotoWire Sports. A lot of fun stuff going on there. We got a daily baseball article every single day of the baseball season where games are being played. We got an awesome group of dudes writing those up. We got Joe Sheehan. We got Michael Rathburn. We got some serious heavy hitters in our lineup, so check that out. And other than that, this has just been awesome. I really appreciate you bringing me on. This is a ton of fun, guys.
Yates, close it out here. I know the Dynasty Football Podcast is really on overtime right now. What do you guys have coming on the docket for the next week or so?
Yeah, absolutely. We're continuing our wide receiver evaluations and the positional breakdowns. So wide receiver part two, I'm actually recording that tonight with Ray Garvin. And then we'll get to some mock drafts and then quarterbacks, tight ends. Remember, just getting you guys ready for your Dynasty rookie drafts coming up here pretty soon.
There you go. Make sure you stick with us at Fantasy Pros for all of our coverage of the NFL draft, including our live stream going on at the exact same time. We're going to break everything down moment to moment, second by second, with Tags and Yates and me, Joey P. Also, want to remind everybody, make sure you go get involved in that contest, www.fantasypros.com/contest. Thanks to our friends at pristineauction.com. We're giving away a Justin Jefferson jersey. It is so easy and free to get involved in it, so go do that. Once again, you can sign up for pristineauction.com today. That's one of our sponsors. We want to thank them for the show sponsorship today. That's pristineauction.com, P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E. auction.com. This is the perfect time to go on there and get some cool NFL stuff and get ready and get psyched for the draft. And you're going to need some snacks for the draft. So might I recommend some Magic Spoon? Yes, I may. Remember, you get your next delicious bowl guilt-free at magicspoon.com/fantasypros. That's all one word, Fantasy Pros. And use that code FantasyPros to save $5 off your order. I want to thank Magic Spoon for sponsoring this podcast. I want to thank our guests too. They came so prepared for this, as I expected them to be, and you absolutely crushed it. Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. It's been fun. We should do this again sometime. And look at us. In an hour and a half, we nailed two rounds of the NFL draft. And I'm sure, like I said before, something will happen and change everything somewhere in the next hour. So, but that's it. That's the fun of football. And we hope you stick with us here at Fantasy Pros. And again, if you're going to watch our draft coverage live, go to Fantasy Pros on YouTube and subscribe and click that notifications button. That'll do it for us. Again, I want to thank John McKechnie, Trevor Sickerman, of course, our boy Kyle Yates. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.